God is revealed. Raising leaders to transform the world. Dominion City welcomes you today.
Dominion City, the place to be.
And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men.
The dominion mandate is inside. That's why the Bible says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You carry God's image. Discover who you are and shake off that ignorance.
I confer the blessing on your life today. I confer your mighty hand of blessing upon their lives. Welcome to Expand Your World.
You're talking about this. I'm talking about the law of attraction. There are people that have stronger gift of magnetism to influence their generation. Use it for good. Because you are going to pay for it. You know, everything you are given is a day of accountability. We read two scriptures today. One was about the birth of Christ and how Herod was attracted by a little child with a destiny. Now, I want you to notice that because I'm teaching on the law of attraction. Every human being you see is a living magnet. I should have brought a bar of magnets here today. Every human being you see is a magneto. The law of magnetism is what we are discussing, is the law of attraction. God put that law in everything He created, including Himself. For example, God is light. There is no darkness in Him at all. Anything darkness, the presence of God repels. But anything light, the presence of God attracts. Because like attracts like. It's the first law of attraction. Like attracts like. Meaning that you attract who you are. If you notice, if you gossip, you find that people like that will just be around you, or people who need to feast on it. If you hate gossip, you find that when people like that come around you, they can't stay. They can't be your friend. If people who gossip, backbite, find you comfortable, you are like that. Tell me who your friends are, and I will tell you who you are. So the kind of friends you keep is a mirror to show you certain things that are inside you. For example, if you see a young girl, she's still a virgin, but she keeps friends with very corrupt, immoral girl. It means that immorality is in her. Maybe parental fear of parents, fear of pregnancy, fear of this. She has not yet ventured, but she craves for it. She wants, but she's afraid. So what you notice is that the law of attraction works by your thought, your words, and action. Whatever thought prevails in you, whatever dominant thought, you keep attracting that kind of reality. So she might have the desire, the thought, another, but she has not done. So you find all her friends crazy, and she goes around them, but she's the one that has not done. But she smiles, enjoys the gist about their guys. It's just a matter of time. Give her a little more time. That's how some of you cross boundaries. If you find yourself that you attract miserable people, people who are always discontented and all that, you are like that. Misery loves company. God is love. So anyone that is into strife, that is into hate, that is into unforgiveness cannot be God's friend. And you can't even make heaven. The environment that attracts God are the environment of love. God is holy. So you can't come in a dirty place, an immoral place, in a place that is polluted and find God there. That environment is habitat for demons. So there are certain things that if you have, you attract evil spirits. You attract evil people. You attract people. There are certain other positions or qualities that if you develop, you attract God. So the presence of God comes close to certain people. An example is broken and contrite people. You know what contrite means? Humble. God is attracted to humble people and he always goes to help them. God stays away from proud and arrogant people. Satan is attracted to them. God is attracted to brokenness. Satan, demons are attracted to woundedness. The opposite of a broken heart is a wounded heart. A wounded heart is a poison, poisoning other people, relationship, poisoning everything it touches. A wounded heart is like a sore, like a wound that is not treated. So it develops and it festers germs and it can end up killing the whole body. How do people have wounded heart? Because they experience a hurt, a disappointment, but refuse to forgive. They brooded over the hurt, over the injustice done to them over a period of time. So it festered and developed deep wounds. So what happens is that when a bitterness has developed roots, even when the person says, I forgive with the mouth, he has not. Because the thing is still inside. You know when a wound has grown such a sore that the surface closes up. But inside, pores, the thing is eating the person up. If you touch it, the person reacts. Anytime you see a human being, small thing, they react. They are carrying a wounded soul. But the issue about life is that your attitude is your choice. It's not what happens to you that decides your future. It's your attitude to it. You see how he's saying, okay, the person you fell in love with is now a married man. Don't worry. Or maybe he's in love with another person. Don't worry. The right attitude says, he's not the only man now. The God that created me has somebody has designed for me. And when we say somebody designed for you, it's not one person. What it means is that God knows your size. If you are size 42, there are many size 42 in the market. If you are size 52, there are many size 52 in the market. But at the same time, if you are 42, 52 will be oversized for you. If you are 42, 38 will be undersized for you. If you marry another size, you will be, you know, those kind of shoes, you force your leg in. That's how, don't force relationship. Love is not force. It's going to be mutual. If the person doesn't like you, let him go. Because if he stays, he's going to make your life miserable. You now, I have done it many times. One, you know, because people gave me the gift, they will insist that I will wear it. But they didn't ask me. They go and buy, the shoe is two size or one size, but the shoe is final. And then I force my leg. And then I come to church like this. Everybody is in the spirit doing praise and worship. I'm under the anointing of pain. You don't know. There's one I wore and when I finished preaching, oh God. It was in the car that I thought it, you know, inside the car. That's how it is. You force the thing. The person that is meant for you will love you the way you are. You don't have to pretend. You don't have to be another person. You attract who you are. So if you don't like what you're attracting, don't try to change somebody. Change you. Whatever you change, you start attracting that new level. And every change in you begins with change of your mindset, change of your thoughts. Change the way you think and your life changes. Your thought life is your center of gravity that sends invisible signals out that decides how the outside world treats you, how people treat you, how circumstances come to you. The second is your words. Change what you say and your word will change. Because your words leave you and go and create a harvest back for you. You know, God says, so shall be my word. Isaiah chapter 55, you can pick from verse 11 down. As the rains that come from heaven, you know, they bring snow to the earth, they bring water to the earth. For one purpose, so that harvest can be created, plants can grow and generate harvest. So shall be my word that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It will accomplish that whereunto I send it. Now that's what happens to God's word. That's why God only speaks positive words. He speaks negative words when he wants judgment. And when he sends it, judgment occurs. But you never find God speaking negative words about himself. Because if God says it, it will happen. Just like his other words happen. The word of God cannot fail. If God says, I'm finished, he will be finished. It is not the devil that gained the upper hand. It is God finishing himself by his own mouth. But the same law applies to you because you are made in the image of God. Your word controls your life. Your world is controlled by your words. Your words create your world. Be careful about what you say. This girl will kill me. It will kill you. Even if it's not physically, you will suffer some form of death. Nothing good ever happens to me. You are the one prophesying it. Change that prophecy. That goodness and mercy follows me everywhere I go. The line has fallen onto me in pleasant places. And you will see, that is the next thing you will start attracting. Words are spirits and words are magnets. When you send them forth, they go and attract the circumstances you spoke and bring it back to the one that spoke it. If you know what you have done to your life by some of the things you said in the past, your life today was created by your yesterday words. Your tomorrow will be created by your today's words. You can counter some of the things you said in the past by changing what you are saying now. The future is controlled by your mouth. It's not controlled by the devil. It is your words now that will attract demons or attract angels. Words attract. Words attract. So you can see God is not the one punishing you or doing anything to you. Create your future with your mouth. The kind of words you speak decides the kind of experiences that will follow. Especially marriage is made and unmade by words. The same thing with other relationships. Whether they are your customers, whether a customer complains that he bought something, is not working, you lambast the person on the phone. The only thing to pray for you is, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. If you know what you are doing to that, your business or whatever, you will not try it. You pacify him with good words, whatever, and show concern and try to even solve the problem. That simple thing you did will go out and attract so many more loyal customers to you. Because that individual will go out and tell others. So anytime there is a conflict, it's an opportunity to deepen relationship. It's not an opportunity to scatter. You see pain in your body, it's a sign that you're doing something wrong. See how God designed my fingers to move. I can bend it to this point forward. But if I try to do it like that, to touch this hand, what am I going to feel at a point? Pain. Pain is not an enemy. It's just a signal. Like when you have the ones you have on your dashboard. One shows where your fuel is finished. It's not your enemy. It's telling you so you don't cross a line. You will have an engine. One is telling you when the oil is finished. So you can go and refuel it. If you cross that line, then you are going to now have engine knock. The one giving you the warning is not the enemy. The enemy is when you ignore the warning. If you are traveling and you see a sign, slow down, danger, narrow bridge. The signboard saying danger is not your enemy, is your friend. Because if all the road has been an express, four cars are passing, and now where you're about to enter is where only one car will pass. That warning is your life saver. You don't know, you just speed on. Next thing, bah, you wake up in hell or heaven. When you go through reconciliation after a quarrel, relationship is deeper and stronger. When the opportunity to deepen relationship is not harnessed, things scatter. People are separated. People are... So shall be my word that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. That means, first of all, it will return. But it will not come back empty. It's not coming back as words. It's coming back as reality. It's coming back as it has produced what has been said. That's how your own words are. Nobody ever loves me. You are creating another year of a loveless life. Then you go around blaming men. You say, men are beasts. Men are, and that thing you are saying, what you are doing is you are driving all the good men away again. And that word will keep attracting the beast towards you in order to keep itself fulfilled. In other words, you are the prophet of your own future because of the law of confession. Confession delivers what you say. So it makes, it creates a life cycle until you learn to break it. The third is action. Action and reaction are equal and opposite. You reap what you sow. When you do something good, you create a harvest of more good towards yourself. A star that is not bold loses its light. The light stops. Let me look at my daughter as I said that again. God did not pull you out from that other platform to dim your star, your light, but to give you a brighter platform. Okay, Jesus that did not sell, what happened? Is the whole world not following him today? Write this down. The purpose of temptation is to get you to disobey God. Write it down. There is a purpose behind temptation. The purpose of temptation is to get you and God to separate, to quarrel. And there is a principle that drives temptation. The purpose is to get you to disobey God. You saw all that gist to Eve in the garden and Adam was to finally get them to disobey God's word. Where you have yielded to temptation, the only remedy is genuine repentance. If you don't do that, and to have genuine repentance, you must first humble yourself. You don't defend your action. You don't explain it away. You don't give reason for what you have done. God, you should know that our church was really trying to buy land. We really needed the money. Now, here is the point. There is underlying principle behind temptation. It is called desire. Everyone say desire. Temptation is no temptation until it's connected to something you are looking for. That is why what can tempt you might not tempt me, and what can tempt me might not tempt you. You are not, you know, for example, the best time to tempt a young woman looking for a husband is when she's not married. That's when you can send her 419, that is a smooth talker. And then she comes and says, Pastor, I've been really in love with him. Is he born again? Pastor, he's God-fearing. I said, is he born again? Pastor, yes, in a way, you know. She knows, but because it's a major desire. Why don't you show them James now? James, how everybody's tempted. Everybody's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. The word lust there means desire. It doesn't mean lust for women like when you are. No. It means whatever you are looking forward to, you are looking for, is where the devil now comes and gives you another offer. Okay. Look at the temptation to Jesus. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own what? And his what? You are not enticed until you fall for it. You know, enticed means you set a trap for a rat. Then you put what the rat wants. That's the idea. Desire is that thing you are crying for, you want. You put it there. The year you declare that you are believing God to break into your billion, that's when the temptation for financial corruption will come. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and is enticed. Now, let's talk about the law of attraction. How did I attract a particular temptation? Because of the desire I carry within me. Your desires will end up attracting their reality, but they can also attract the fake or the wrong opportunity to fulfill itself. What is attracting this temptation is your desire. That's why we say personal transformation is the transformation of your desire. Once what drives you is to please God, once your heart converts not to do your will, but to do His will, once it converts to your will is my command, you conquer majority of the temptations that drown human beings. That's what has kept me. It's not money that drives you, even though God blesses people who serve Him. It's not fame that drives you. If fame becomes your obsession, you will fall into the ditch. Because somewhere, the devil will offer you something you cannot say no to. If power is what is driving you, you are going to get into trouble. That's why we call them the root of personal or national decay. One is possession. One of those P's is possession. One is power. One is prestige. Some people, that's what is their own, their ego, their image, their pride. One is pleasure. Don't something I want to enjoy. That's where some people, their own is. So sexual and all those other things grab them. Or if it is temptation based on drinking or what they were, things that it will grab them. One is plaudits. Plaudits is praise of men. Such people fall for sycophants. They like to be recognized. They like titles. They like to be told what they want to hear. Such people. They fall for deception. And it happens to a lot of people in government, in leadership. Is this issue of applauding? Now, there's nothing wrong with people giving testimonies of what God has used you to do. People can do that, but the man himself must return the glory back to. He said, what has this got to do with the law of attraction? This is why some people that are doing well fall. That's why some people stagnate. Because all of these things, your thoughts, your desires, your attitude, those things that go on in your heart decides what you pull. Why don't you show this scripture, Philippians chapter 4. I can even pick from verse 6 so that they will see the role of prayer. Be careful for nothing. The reason is that worry never attracts any good thing. Once anxiety forms around you, you realize a lot of important elements that can help you solve the problem. One of them is divine direction. Anytime you are worrying, you don't hear God clearly. Anything you claim to be hearing from God is false. God speaks with a small, still voice. And his voice is heard when there is peace and calmness in your soul. Now, when you are worrying, you repel away some of the things that will help you. For example, you switch off your faith. You cannot claim to be in faith when you are in worry. You see why we are taught this. Be anxious for nothing. There is a real problem. You have a situation. Even if somebody just died, calm yourself down. God is still on the throne. Your word has not come to an end. And it will not. As long as the one that holds the word in his hand is still on the throne. And don't think about him resigning because he's not about to resign. Be careful for nothing. That is, don't worry about anything. Can you imagine learning to live this kind of life? Kenneth Hagin said he practiced it too much until one day his wife accused him of insensitivity. He said, how can your son has brain tumor? That's the only boy they have. And you are just relaxed like this. The reason is that if he said, woman, you that is worrying up yourself, why haven't you removed the tumor? Why is it that your prayer has not worked? The prayer of an anxious man produces no result. The prayer of the one that is calm, that is in faith, is what moves mountains. Finally, it is him that still stopped the issue. Cancer in the brain. Look at the young man. Today he has taken over his father's ministry. He's still there. He's heading to 77. He said, you are very insensitive. You see how you are relaxed when the whole house is on fire. I don't understand. Nothing moves you. You see, the one that is in unbelief accuses the one that is in faith. The one that operates in strife accuses the one that walks in love. The one that walks in the flesh accuses the one that walks in the spirit. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to. What he's saying, the way 1 Peter chapter 5 said it is, carry that burden and transfer it to God. If you start worrying, you're going to get nervous breakdown. You won't be able to hear God. You won't be able to make the right decision. That's one of the things you repel, sound wisdom. Instead of being able to make a wise decision, you make more mistakes. Just think about this scenario. Something happens on the road and there's a panic. And then every vehicle, and you know, I have been involved in that situation. And I noticed people were running. And then I wanted to run. I noticed that some people were running towards me. So when I saw that they were running towards me, I started running too. And then I noticed another group running the opposite direction. So I said, where is the wahala now?
People are just, you know, and so there was confusion everywhere. By the time the whole, when I now heard a rebuke in my spirit, don't say confederacy to what these people say confederacy. Don't fear these people's fear. Make the Lord your fear and be calm. So I stopped. I went to the side and stood there and I was watching the events. A lot of people died. A lot of people wounded themselves. Cars were hit over nothing. When it calmed and I was asking people around me, they were also looking for answers. I finally asked somebody, was not, he said, they are armed robbers. I said, is that the issue? He said, yes. But a lot of people started running without knowing why. And they were running because other people were running. What we know is find safety. Look at when the bomb exploded in Lagos in the military barracks. You know how many people drowned in one canal leaving Nigeria? Some people were leaving the country to Cameroon. Some were leaving to... Some were running towards Togo. I mean, but I agree that people started crossing canals that they wouldn't cross under normal. And God drowned there. Because some thought they were bombing Nigeria. There was war. There were all kinds of. The law of attraction. Don't let anxiety control you. You will make a lot of mistakes and some of it can be fatal. When you're anxious, for example, take note. When somebody comes to you and is putting pressure on you to invest money, be careful. That's the right time not to invest. If that deal will spoil, if you have 3 days to think about it, let it go. That is how people lose everything they have worked for. If you don't bring the car, this is an opportunity, a one-time opportunity. And you know in business you take risk. But you take calculated what? That's why there's a course on risk management. Being led of the Spirit is not teaching you to be led by fear. It's to be led by faith. But guided by intelligence. The best intelligence there is. In everything by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. Maintain that culture, that atmosphere of peace in your heart, and it's easy to know the voice of God. Okay, verse 8, which is where it comes back to thoughts. If you're going to have easy access to the voice of God, easy access to divine guidance, you have to maintain an atmosphere of peace in your heart. How do you do it? How you think. You see, brethren, whatsoever are true, whatsoever are honest, whatsoever are just, whatsoever are pure, whatsoever are lovely, whatsoever are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on this. I will talk about this one of these days. That's the kind of thought you should allow in your mind. Stinking thinking is what ruins many people's life. You know, for example, if I pick one of them, for example, whatever is of good report, it simply means if they take your mind, what is going on in your mind, put it on projector and project it to the whole church, will you be proud of it or will you be ashamed of it? You won't be proud of it. Get rid of those nonsense from your head. Because thoughts are things. And thoughts create reality. And when the reality comes, you start blaming somebody for what you created with your head. Thoughts are spirit. Words are spirit. And they create the physical equivalent once they are released without being restrained. Thought energy is a very powerful stuff. Look at what it can do to the human body. It can cause heart attack. Thoughts can cause high blood pressure. Thoughts can cause nervous breakdown.
Thoughts can make a woman wet. Thoughts can make a man rape. So be careful what you feed into your system and what you allow. Now see, like temptation, the desire is not where the problem is. It's when you yield to the wrong. Desire is inside. The enticement is outside. You have desire, then you pull a temptation. It's when you yield to it, you are trapped. Like that rat that put his head to collect whatever it is that is put for him, that's when the poison grabs him. The purpose of temptation is to get you to disobey God. At that moment, the man has disobeyed God. That's why there's a young man that came to me, was trying to, the devil has been working on his case. So he said, because I've been thinking about this girl, I've thought all sorts of things. And the Bible said, if you think lustfully about a woman, you've already committed fornication with her. So he said, Pastor, well, since I have already done it, I can as well go ahead and do it so that at least I will have something to hold. Because in his case, it started with a thought that lasted for a series of months, but as at the time we were talking, he has succeeded in pulling the girl, attracting the girl into his world. It's a mystery. You keep thinking that stuff, it looks far. One of these days, it will be right beside you. So I said, no, nobody is sent to jail for thinking about robbing a bank. You are sent to jail for robbing a bank. Nobody is sent for hanging for thinking about, hey, I hate this, my dad, I wish he would die. No. They will hang you for killing a man. So I said, thoughts are like birds. They are like flies. It doesn't matter how many flies fly over your head, how many birds fly across your head. That is not the issue until you allow them to settle and build a nest on your head. It is those thoughts that you now capture and start brooding on that affect you. Something came to your mind. It happens to everybody. That's what the idea of temptation is all about. One crazy stuff comes to your mind, but you repel it. Because in your heart, you are different. As per your mind, it's also like a satellite dish. It can pick one or two signals. You switch off the wrong channels. You stay with the right stuff. That's what he's teaching here. Then beyond that, you have to constantly feed your mind with God's word. The software for programming that your system, because this is a computer, is the word of God. If you feed it with God's thoughts, you think like him. You think noble thoughts. And guess what? You'll be attracting a world that reflects that. If there is any virtue, any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. If they are opposite of this, reject those thoughts. Because whatever thoughts you accept will one day become a reality. The dreams of today becomes the realities of tomorrow. Thoughts are like pregnancies. What you carry in there is what you will deliver finally. I don't pray some kind of stupid prayer. A pregnant woman come and say, Pastor,
last time it was a girl. The other time again it was a girl. And I went to the doctor and he just told me that this baby is a girl. Please pray that it will convert to a boy.
I don't pray that kind of prayer. If you want a boy, meet me before you get pregnant. We'll ask God, he will put a boy there. And I've seen it many times. They have it. But if you now have a girl, you want me to convert it to a boy? I don't believe that God does that. There might be some prophet somewhere who do that. I don't get involved in that. Every person has a purpose and a destiny. Yes. And who told you that boys are better than girls? It's African mindset anyway. Every child is precious. I know it's also important to have balanced sex if you care. God said he will give you the desires of your... But the devil also tries to trap you with the what? The desires of your... So you need to know that every blessing is not from God. Know when he has a trap. And anytime you see a trap in it, it's not God sending it, it's Satan. God does not tempt people with evil. Show it in James. Let no one say, when I'm tempted by God. God doesn't tempt people with evil. The same place you were showing, just go a few verses before it. God doesn't tempt people with evil. It's Satan, because he wants you to disobey God. Let no man say, when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he what? Any man. God doesn't do that. There is something God does, it's called test. The purpose of test is to decide who should be promoted or who should be demoted or who should stay in the same rank. Tests are exams. That's the one God gives. So, he looks at men of God and he's looking for somebody he needs to move to this level. He gives, and in a test, he gives you two options. Not temptation that tries to lure you to go and do evil. He gives you two options. And two of them can be good things. So, and then he wants you to make a decision for what is nobler, what might be for a common good. You do that, a major promotion hits you. Other tests has to do with things like persecution. The devil might even be the one bringing it, but God sees that and he allows it because it's an opportunity for this guy to go to another level. An example is when he made a demand on Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. That is a test. It's not a temptation. Because if you do it, you're not going to be disobeying God. A temptation is something that if you do, you are in disobedience. A test is something that if you do it, if you pass that test, you gain promotion, blessings, another dimension of life comes to you. Like when there is giving, a call for giving. And then I have this money, let them not talk to me about giving. I don't want to hear that now. These pastors, they have come again. And then they are talking about satellites. 200 million Africans needs to hear the gospel. And then, this money too, I want to buy Nama in Christmas, or I want to do this one. And those two things are before you. It's not a temptation. If you don't give the money, you have not committed sin. No. If you give the money, but it's an exam on kingdom priority. Where your values are, what your value system is. So God will know what he can give you, he can entrust into your hand. That's how promotions in the kingdom come. That's how it's decided. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he anyone. Everyone is tempted, verse 14, when he's drawn away of his own lust and is enticed. Verse 15, lust, when he has conceived. I told you that thoughts are like pregnancy. It brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. So that's what I was showing the young man. I said there is no consequence till the sin has been committed. All the while Eve was looking at that forbidden fruit. The devil was telling her, if you eat it, you'll be like God. Nothing happened. And if she did not take the action, there will be no judgment. The reason we teach and talk about lust and talk about thoughts is because without it, there won't be the action. It's thoughts that produce action. That's why you have to start tackling things from that place. But get it into your system. There is no consequence. The wages of sin is death. There is no consequence until action has been executed. So when you're facing a temptation in your mind, you can still control it. Don't yield to it. Don't tell yourself it's the same thing. It's not the same thing. Intention and action are not the same. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? But don't keep thinking evil thoughts, because if you keep, you will carry it out. You will get to a point where that thought will overpower you and you will do it. That's why you don't stay around people who are filling your mind with all sorts of things. Then you call yourself a holy girl. All your friends are sleeping around with married men, but you are the good girl among them. So then you go around boasting. That's how what a lady was gisting me, you know, in Enugu. And all my friends are all committing adultery. They sleep around with married men. And my husband lives in Abuja and I'm here. But pastor, you see, I don't do that kind of thing. But my friends are like that. I told her you're going to do it. But I don't want you to. So stop befriending such people. Evil communication does what? Corrupt. By keeping the wrong association, you are going to attract another you, a corrupted you. That's what is in your future. If I look at your association, the people around you, I can predict your tomorrow immediately. You are hanging around wise people. I know this guy is going to be very wise and influential and rich, because wisdom attracts wealth. If I start seeing you hang around, they say, where you change. You know, many a time when you want to change, you just adjust one or two people from your life and your world changes. Because people are actually there who are the weight holding you back. You want to move forward, but the person that you have made your friend is somebody that does not want to move. They will keep you there. You take three steps, they draw you back to where you are. If you want to be holy, hang around holy people. If you want to be prayerful, you might not be as strong. Get around people who are prayerful. Guess what will happen to your prayer life? It will explode. You want to deepen your knowledge of the word. Hang around people like me. You will get, I'm not telling you to come, you know, but find people who are worded. You won't even find me. So that's the point. Find people who are worded up. You will develop wisdom. You know, I'm an ego. So if you want to catch me, you have to come up very high. You have to come up there. Come up there. You can't catch me if you hang around with dogs. Come up there. When you come up there, you see what some of us see. God's global plan. A life that you don't live for yourself anymore. Such people go very high up. And you are thinking about the world, how your country can be better, how your community can be better, how people can be saved, how nations can be. Yeah, that moment. I have criteria for deciding who becomes my friend as a man of God. There are pastors. You can't be my friend. For example, I'm going to heaven. So once you're a minister, you hang around me. I bring up discussion about life after death, heaven, hell. I see that you don't believe in heaven and hell. You can't be friends. What are you doing with me? You don't want to go there, so leave me alone. There are pastors like that. It's sad to say, but it's true. We are living in the last days. I want to be godly, because the driving force is to please God. I see you don't care about what pleases what. No, I'm not looking for a perfect person, but I want people, because once this is what is going on in your heart, that's what you'll be attracting. I can tell where you're going by telling what you're dwelling on. Personal transformation is the transformation of desire. Change your desire. Become hungry for righteousness. Become thirsty for a move of God in your life. Become thirsty for God to revive. Become thirsty for God to do something great. Because that's where you will end up. At this minute, I want to balance something. We read two portions of the scripture today. One was about Jesus. When he was born, wise men came from the east. That young child attracted millions, because you can go and do your research. The three gifts that was given to him, gold, myrrh, and frankincense was finally translated to money, and the parents were able to use it to take the child, the whole family, to Egypt, and they lived in Egypt till he was 12. Now, think about enough money to keep a young family for 12 years in a foreign country. Think about you now moving to America and not working for 12 years, and you have enough money to take care of you, your wife, and your kids. Now, they have found, there is even a documentary on it in Egypt, the particular compound where they rented in Egypt and where Jesus grew up as a young child, where Mary and Joseph lived. What happened is that because the baby is born with a destiny, God has to make provision because God sees the future. He knew that attack was coming, so he had to make provision. What is it about a new baby that went and attracted millions, kings, magis, wise men from the east? It is said that they traveled almost a whole year to get to Jerusalem. There are even people who are trying to understand where this east is. Some actually think that they came as far as from China. I don't think it was that far, but I know it's somewhere like probably Iran and Persia, because Persia is actually directly east of Israel. Why Russia is north of Israel is that place, either Persia or Medes, Iraq, Iran, all those countries. And they came from there. Traveled on their mule or donkey, whatever method. And they were not three wise men. There were a number of them. Check your Bible. It didn't say three. It's just people that added that one. It was a company. And they have to have enough security to go through the desert journey and get there alive. These were wealthy men. They were wise men. They were able to decode the star, the message in it. They found him and delivered the goods. Let me stop here to say from now, everybody, it doesn't matter where they are now, that is connected to your destiny, they will find you in 2014. I release into motion the mystery of the stars. I command every part of the universe to combine, to align, to deliver to everyone here what belongs to you. In the name of Jesus. One young girl will tell you how we called her husband Ford. I called it Ford for the coming year, just at the closing of the year like this. Because she's been without. And the next year, I think or 3 months after, before camp meeting, this guy got up from the U.S. and came to Nigeria. He said he had this impression to come and see his family. And he has not been to the country for years. When he got to Lagos, somebody invited him to Dominion City. He has never been to Dominion City all his life. He doesn't even know that we exist. And he decided to just attend that Sunday service. So the next day, he would travel down to the east. And he attended that service. He was so blessed, he decided to hang around in Lagos for 3 days. But he met the girl after the service. They chatted and left. He calls the girl up. And that was it. He ended up spending 2 weeks instead of going to see his. And finally, he took her along to go and introduce her to the people. And that was it. Pia, 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 pia. They came to meet me. I said, you know, you don't need, because they were talking about all this wedding, wedding gown, wedding. I said, go for your premarital, but you don't need all those. You can do Tuesday wedding. Who told you you must do wedding on Saturday? You can wait on jeans, my dear, and t-shirt. I love you, t-shirt. All these things people created that is hindering young people. People think about marriage, their heart jumps. It's man-made, my friend. You don't have to have all the money in the world. The type of marriage I had is where I got a girl that I loved in school. Meanwhile, school is the best place. School fellowship to find your... Some of you miss the best time. School. Church. Fellowship. After that, The next place is workplace. Be careful how you treat the guys in your office, the ladies in your office. Because God puts your Eve in your Garden of Eden. Most relationship with problem is this one where you never got to know. The principle of choosing a life partner is that the same soil that made Adam must be the same soil that makes what? Eve. That's why Sony remote can work for Sony TV. It doesn't work for Samsung. There is a chip that connects the two. So the rib must be for your body, not from another thing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That means find somebody that is shaped by your kind of values. That's why if you marry somebody that's like, stop despising the brethren. You see the things we're teaching them. They are real. So oh, these brothers are dry, man. Dry bros. Go and get me somebody from. There's a law of attraction. You violate something there, later it starts causing you problem. Shared values, shared vision hold people sometimes tighter than love. Don't let the only thing that holds you and that man be affection. Because there are many waters of marriage. The key to unity is common vision. Unified vision. Two cannot work together except that. Look at me, I have two eyes, but there is unity. Because each time I look, I see one you, not three you. But there are two. Why are they not seeing two different things? I close one, I still see one person. I close the other one, he's still seeing the same you. I use the two. Instead of seeing you in two, I'm still seeing you. This is what marriage should do. So unified vision creates a perfect marriage. The cause of division is division. When you start seeing two different things, it produces division. It pulls the people apart. What causes conflict is called misunderstanding. What is misunderstanding? Missing understanding. So what is the solution? A lot of explanation, a lot of communication, a lot of till you all come to the same level of understanding. Communication, communication, communication. If you hold communication, misunderstanding grows and widens. That's why after vision, there is vision casting. Until the people get it and achieve what is called vision ownership. At that moment, organization becomes unified. But beyond that, there is now shared values. What are your values? You don't believe in divorce? Then you need to check whether the other person believes in it or not. If your values are not the same, what about your values about raising children? You believe in disciplining children. What about the other person? He said, no, nobody can touch my kids. Quarrels have started. What about your values? You believe in proper dressing. I don't believe in showing off your stuff. But guess what? There are guys who like it. When their wife is advertising, they are happy. Marry the person like that, there will be no problem. You marry somebody like me, then you want to now come and show boobs, you have problem. That's why you need to check values. Because when you come back, I'm going to pour kerosene on your clothes and burn it. There are family values. You don't have it. Your family is like a boat without compass. You will drown in the sea. This world, the way things are going today. But you don't just marry anybody because values, somebody my own. I like parties, oh, I like. Make sure that the man too is like that. No headache. Just every Friday, you guys are from one joint to another. No problem. You marry the one that He just likes. I believe in good dressing. But my definition of good dressing, it must have modesty in it. Must be. Because there are just some things I see. I wonder if the designer is mad or the person buying it is mad. It's just some stuff you see. You know that the mind that created this is not sound. And I want to advise you as Christians, don't buy everything you see in the market. Don't buy everything you see. That's why we need some Christians to go into fashion and designing to help keep society safe. And sane. Okay, here is the balancing I said I would do before I leave you. Jesus attracted wise men. But did you notice that he attracted Herod? Now, the question will be, how can an innocent child that has not done anything wrong attract an enemy that wants him dead? And at the end of the day, a lot of kids died over what they did not know. When Moses was born, it was Pharaoh. He ordered all male children to be killed. What? Now, there's an aspect of the law of attraction I need to explain to you all. Because if you don't understand that balance, you might have some things happening to you that is not the result of what you sowed. You have done good. You have been nice. But now, you are getting something is going on that has nothing to do with what you sowed. But I want you to know that there's another signal you sent out that is attracting the attack. If you are a star, a born star, the kingdom of darkness knows you and you are going to be attacked whether you understand it or not. If you are a deliverer, the kingdom of darkness knows you. You are going to be attacked for that. If you are anointed, there is a message I preached some years ago. Why? And we said, because I'm anointed. There are some things that happen because the anointing is one of the law of attraction. It pulls the presence of God. It causes miracles. It causes a lot of other things. But one thing it does is that it steers hatred in the heart of Satan. If God loves you, you're going to be attracting his favor. You will enjoy, you will be blessed, but you're also going to attract the wrath of the dragon. Anything God loves automatically attracts the hatred, the envy of Satan. So I want to make something very clear today so that you will understand your Christian walk. If you choose friendship with God, there will be human beings that will hate your gods. Some of you were part of the enemies before. You used to attack people who said they were godly. You call them Meli Amaka. You know, you are in a class. The girl is a virgin. Or she chooses to live a life of celibacy, or a life of godliness, purity. People call her Mary Magdalene. Mary the mother of Jesus. Call her Holy Virgin. You call her all that. What is the issue here? When you choose a contrary value to the values of the kingdom, if care is not taken, you tend to hate those who choose the other ones. That's why the Bible said that friendship with God is enmity with what? The world. Have you seen that? It's not because you sowed any bad thing here. If you choose to be God's friend, the world will hate you. That's why they crucified Christ. If God loves you, Satan will hate your gods. Watch the second story that you read. Another baby. And the woman was pregnant at the time of delivery. She was traveling to deliver. What did the baby attract? A dragon. Why? Because he was a baby that will rule the world with a rod of iron. If you carry greatness in you, you attract certain type of attacks. So the earlier you understand that, the better for you. What you are attracting is not evil because you did not sow evil. What you are attracting is trials. You are attracting persecution. You are attracting that. That's why Jesus warns us about giving. He said, if you give towards kingdom investment and expansion, if you really want the kingdom of God to grow and expand, and you invest your resources into it, you will get a hundredfold in this life plus what? Persecution. When you are sowing, nobody will talk. Once God starts blessing you, their mouth will start wagging. Eh? Men of God, see them, they are flying jets. Okay, for example, now, when I'm rejecting a jet now, nobody will write about me. When I'm rejecting temptation, nobody will write. But guess what? I'm going to have a jet. No. I'm not desiring a jet. I don't need one except because of African mission. If you see what we're going through, then you will understand that. If you sit down at home here, really, I don't really see much need for a pastor who just sits there because you're creating more problem for yourself. The cost of packing that thing in the airport and all that, I don't see. In other words, purpose attracts provision. So the man that wants provision should first embrace God's assignment for his life, because that's where the magnetism for provision is. The triangle of provision says, find your purpose, what God has called you to do. Stay committed to it and start doing it. Initially, you will be the one spending all. If you want money before you start doing it, you will die. You won't find that money. You will have to start obeying it before provision will find you. Second thing, provision might be coming in trickles. Sometimes you don't have it until you go and develop the second P. Provision is the third P in purpose. It's not the second. Once I answer the call of God, the money will find me. It's a lie. The first P is purpose. The second P is your potentials. Go and get involved in personal development. Go and take courses. So the trinity of provision is potential must be developed to match purpose. Then the money will start coming. In other words, development. Some people, there are courses. There are trainings. You know what I've done for myself? Every year, you can't find me at this. There is no year I don't go for training. Even this year. Even next year that is coming. I've already planned some new courses I'm going to take. The call of God is raw. You need to refine it by subjecting yourself to further development. Then you start attracting the value that will match. Don't go and get a job. You got a good job. You just stay there. A year passes. You are still there. Don't you know that there are other professional exams to be written in your field? Don't you know that there are other courses you can do? Become overqualified for the present position you have and you will attract a promotion. Whether your company has planned promotion or not, your company doesn't have it, it will come from outside. Because you attract your value per time. Hey, somebody will hear what I'm teaching. I say another new level is coming for you in this coming year. It is not the devil that decides your future. The level of value you put in yourself decides what you attract. Hey, is somebody hearing me today? When they went and anointed David with oil, they added value to him. The value was anointing of God coming inside this young man's life. That means the kingly office will find him. Because what was he received is a kingly anointing. But I also want to warn, once you carry the kingly anointing, the Philistines will dislike you. So the favor of God doesn't mean everybody will like you. It means the devil will not like you.
Some evil people won't like you.
But you succeed in spite of your enemies. He said, he make it a table before me. Where? In the presence of. And he anoints my head, and my cup does what? Runs. Some people are carrying empty cup. Other people, their own is running over. They have excess. You are joining the overflowing group. I said, from now, your group is the overflowing group. No more stagnation in your life. No more stagnation in your destiny. I'm coming back because there are very definite areas I'm trying to get to. But I can't just rush you into it. I have to build it. Like issues about your workplace, your promotion, your talent, your skills, and how to. Remember, you are the light of the world. You are a star. Like the one born in Bethlehem is a star too, hovering over your destiny. It gets the attention of Satan as well as the attention of angels. Wisdom now demands that you need to know. Don't go and tell all your secrets to Herod. You know, the wise men made that mistake. They went to Herod, told him all. And he carefully, deceitfully told them, please go find the child when you finish. Come and tell me that I might also go and what? And worship him. Everybody is not coming to worship. Some people are coming to destroy. You need an eye that can discern. I think you should even lift up your hands. All relationships are not there to help you. Some people are coming to your life to pull you down. Ask God to give you the ability to discern between relationships, between people that come into your path. When the devil wants to destroy you, he sends somebody into your life. But when God wants to bless you, he sends somebody into your life. How do I know who is sent by God or who the enemy has sent? Open my eyes. Give me ability to discern my wise men. And give me the ability to discern my Herods. Give me ability to discern my Elizabeth, who is a destiny helper. Also give me the ability to discern my Delilahs, who bring destruction to destinies. Open my eyes. In 2014 and beyond, nobody can fool me anymore. Give me discernment. Give me. Do you know that in these last days, we also need ability to discern churches? Every church is not a good church. We even need the ability to discern pastors. Every man that bears the name of God is not a minister. Open our eyes. Abarabako, Sekilamosh, Sekilamosh,
hour of strength and at your throne. Of grace I humbly bow. My affections I pour out. My eyes release the tears as I behold the beauty of the Lord.
You are my hiding place.
You are my hiding place, my tower of strength, and at your throne of grace I humbly bow. My affections I pour out, my eyes release the as I behold the beauty of the Lord.
As I behold,
as I behold the beauty of the Lord.
As I behold,
as I behold the beauty of the Lord.
Just be seated. I'll give you an information. You can go home. Remember that worship is one of the law of attraction. The law states that whatever you worship, you become like. That's why he said those who worship idols will also be like them. And you go to communities where they do it, you see the effect. Who you worship, you attract. And you also become like, you reflect. Make up your mind if you want to serve God. Read that your Bible, no matter what anybody tells you, including me. Read that book. And use it to check everything. It's not my pastor said that is the issue. It's that what he said is in line with what?
The Bible.
No human being has right to contradict God. Bow down your heads. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. You made it clear in your word that your sheep know your voice and they follow it. You also said the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. Because everyone that is truly a child of God has the Spirit of Christ within them that bears witness to them of the truth. So when they hear the truth, they know. When they also see a lie, when they see error, they know. Because of the Holy Spirit. I pray for everyone here beyond all of this. That there will be nobody among us found who is at the borderline, living a lukewarm Christian life. That everyone will make up their mind to born like the wise virgins for their master. And live these remaining days that we have in the service of God and humanity. Born in our lives to see the lost saved, to see your kingdom established, and to see your will done. Have your way today. I ask for the spirit of repentance, the spirit of humility that go alongside with it to fall upon everyone. That will bring about personal introspection in any area of our lives that are not in line with your will, that we will adjust it. Any area where we have been living in contrary to your word, that we will humble ourselves and correct it. I ask for the Holy Spirit to have his way. I ask that you will have the liberty to do a deep work of solidification. People that has been on the borderline, they are in church but are not in God because they still have love for the world. That you will burn off that desire for worldliness and give them appetite for godliness, appetite for holiness, appetite for the things of God. I thank you. I bless you. Thank you for the privilege of making all of these things known to us. We give you praise. In these days when people are asleep, help us to be among the wise virgins that will help to wake other people up. That will help to guide others. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
Do more than just hearing me. Help awaken your own brothers and sisters everywhere you go. If you meet Christians who are lukewarm, fire them up. These are not the days to be lukewarm. Make sure that your own personal Christian life is in order. Rekindle your prayer life. Rekindle your study of the word. If you don't have morning devotions, start from there. The strength to run the Christian race comes from your personal devotion. Stop missing church. Get involved in service. And beyond all of this, be involved in the Great Commission. Let your time, your talent, and your money be involved in making sure that the gospel go around the world. God bless you.